The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Elbin, and today's guest is a Berkshire Hathaway realtor who is dominating Savannah's luxury market. She uses her specialist approach, master's degree in professional counseling, and the love for her area to set herself apart from the competition, and I'm excited to hear about some of her tips and tricks. Originally from Michigan, but coming to us from Savannah, Georgia, Heather Booth. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, there is a reason you're here. You're an icon of real estate, and behind every icon is a story, that journey. So take us, the floor is yours. Take us on that journey from then till now, where you are in your real estate career.
Okay. Well, I originally started off in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was there for 12 years. And I like to tell people it was a little too big. And then I scooted down to a small beach town called St. Simon's Island. It's close to Florida, and found it was a little too small. And so when a great opportunity came up in Savannah, I scooted up here, and I think it's just right. So, I have really grown in defining my craft, I guess, all those years, which has been over really the course of about 30 years. So,
awesome. And you weren't with Berkshire Hathaway the whole time, were you?
No, you know, I started off with a really boutique company called Corbett Thomas, and it was part of the luxury portfolio leading real estate companies of the rural world.
Yes.
So I got the benefit of some awesome mentors, I think it really set a great foundation for me to learn to serve people. I mean, that's sort of my mentality that I come from.
Awesome, and you're Chatham County proud, and I hope I've said that pronounced that correctly. What are your favorite parts of both real estate and the lifestyle aspect of living in that region?
Yes, well, I say it's easy to sell here because I absolutely love it. I really think, you know, there's only one or two cities in the country that I would probably be tempted to go to other than Savannah. I really missed the coastal lifestyle when I was in Atlanta. And so what the really unique thing about Savannah, there's only a few cities like this, is that I live in the heart of a historic district, and it is the largest historic district.
Oh, okay.
I understand. It's not just one. We have our landmark historic district, which most people think of when they think of Savannah. You know, it's the homes from the 1700s, beautiful estate style with like old carriage houses facing squares. But a lot of people don't connect the fact that all of that is really probably 10, 15 minutes from the coast. We have a barrier island. And then we have Tybee Island, which is right on the Atlantic. So I myself, and probably on the water 10 months a year, at least once a week. So that's
great.
I live in the historic district, but I bounce back and forth between the coast and the historic district.
That's awesome. And you mentioned that there's a lot more, there's like a higher ratio of historically marked properties in that area. What are you, in your experience, what's the most important things to be mindful of when you're navigating a transaction with a historically zoned property versus your normal home types?
Great question. Probably the two most important things are, anybody who's done a renovation on a historic property knows that you really have to work with somebody skilled and have a good inspector. Because once you start taking back the layers, sometimes, you know, if you think about a home from the 20th century, it's going to have new plumbing, new electrical, new HVAC.
Yeah.
Historical homes are sort of retrofitted that way. A lot of times they were just upgraded throughout the years. Like, I work with some homes where they literally have all the original mechanicals for the fireplace where they cook their meals. So if you think about that, they didn't have modern day electricity and So when you're looking at a historic home, there's plenty that are completely renovated. Somebody went in and gutted them and did all the work for you. But more often they're sort of renovated. So you have to decide, are you going to take it at that level, or are you really going to peel back all the layers? And if you do that, you need a qualified team to help you.
And are there any implications? I mean, I like to sort of relate it back to the market back home in South Africa. And if you've got anything that's been historically zoned, you're not really allowed to touch anything. I mean, there might be a few things. Is it the same there? Are there restrictions on what you can renovate and remodel?
Well, I think I mentioned that we have many historic districts. So I'm going to speak specifically to our landmark district, which is... Okay. It faces our river, and it's several miles going from the north part of Savannah south. And in that district, you are absolutely right. They have facade easements. So essentially anything on the outside of the property is under the purview of the Historic Review Board and the historic district here. And so if you wanted to change paint colors or the iron that's on the outside, anything like that, you would have to go through them. But interestingly, they really don't look at anything on the interior, you know.
That is very interesting.
You know, for better or for worse, you can take great historic features like transoms above the doors and, you know, pocket doors and things like that. And as long as it cannot be seen from the outside, you can modernize it to your taste.
That is crazy. Okay. Now, you mentioned that you're right there on the, well, you're close to the water. What do you think are the main factors for anyone who's considering living in that part of the coast? What should they be factoring in before they make that move?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I learned, because I have property on the water and I sell a ton of property on the water. There is a really big difference between having a view of the water and having real access to the water.
Yeah, true.
Most boaters, you know, folks know that, but when you're in the low country, which is what we call this 100-mile stretch that I serve from, you know, really southern Georgia all the way up to the Carolinas, you learn real fast. If you want to be a boater, even if it's with a boat club, you need to understand that we have tides here, and the tide obviously rises, goes up and down. And you can't just take your boat and go down the middle of a waterway and assume that you're safe. You need to make sure that you understand what the height is. Low tide, high tide. Unfortunately, we see people stranded all the time on sandbars in 6 to 8 hours swing before the tide comes back. So, and if you wanted to have a boat on your own property, you need to really understand, you know, can I get through all the right waterways and get there? The worst thing in the world would be to not have an understanding of that and buy a property that doesn't fit your needs. And then hurricanes are the other thing. You know, we are so fortunate that Savannah seems to have a little bit of a, you know, the geography of it is that we're set back between Florida and the Carolinas. And so you hear a lot about those two areas being affected by hurricanes.
Yeah.
We are affected a little bit by storm surge and winds and so forth, but it is extremely rare for our geographic area to be hit directly by a hurricane. They seem to go out into the ocean in the Carolinas again. So, but there are insurance factors and, you know, other things that you want to think about if you buy a home right on the water.
Awesome. And let's look at your performance for last year, because I know you rocked it. And you're performing at a consistently high level. What are the strategies that you have for getting that business through? I mean, you know, I know referrals and repeat business is one side of things, but what's the strategy for getting new business through the door?
Well, I think this is a little unique, or maybe it's a well-kept secret in the brokerage community. I learned many years ago that if I find a client that I absolutely adore working with and they absolutely love working with me, that it's so much easier to keep up a relationship with that person. And, you know, people tend to buy and sell property, investment property, beach homes, whatever it is, because something's going on in their life that's changing. Either something very pleasurable, you know, maybe the kids are now off to college and they have time to do what they want to do, or more money. I won't say that with college, more money, but, or they just had a baby. And so they're moving from one size home or realize that four steps of stairs don't work with a baby anymore. So I really prided myself on the fact that, I'm a service type. I'm in the service industry. And if I serve people well and stay connected to them, that they'll want to work with me again. Awesome. And I'm gonna give you A quick example, if somebody has an earnest money check to be delivered, you know, normally you tell them where to drop it off. In most cases, we'll go pick it up and deliver it wherever it needs to go. Even when people, we have lots of folks here who it's not their primary home, they may be second, third, or fourth home. So if they're away and they need us to do something on their behalf, they know they can just pick up the phone and say, will you please meet this person at my home and, you know, stack the groceries because I'm coming in 2 weeks or whatever. So it's a different mentality than it's a transaction. I'm going to get it done and I'm going to look for a new buyer.
Totally. And I'm seeing that more. I mean, not being from the States originally, I've been privy to a lot of these different little cliches, for lack of a better word. The cliche about Southern hospitality, that's real. Any guest I've had on, it's any of those Southern states, that's sort of above and beyond that, you know, accommodating. I see that as quite a consistent thread. So I'm glad to see that it's having a positive impact on your real estate career as well.
Yeah. Well, I have to give you an example. I drive a Lexus right now, and I have driven some nice cars before, but the care that I get every time I go to Lexus, and the fact that from many standpoints, what they say matches what they do, it makes me so loyal that even though I want to buy another car for design or whatever aesthetic purposes, I don't know that I'll ever go anywhere else. And that's my goal with my clients, really. So
awesome. And I hear you got some exciting news. You're going to be a host on something. You want to talk about that?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I just found out within the last week or two that I'm going to be a representing Savannah as a host for an Emmy nominated show called The American Dream. So
awesome.
I'm really
awesome. That's really, really cool. I'm going to ask you now, it's official on the show, that when they are releasing and distributing that, please pop me a message. We'd love to link it through here. So you get extra publicity from that. That's fantastic. What is the selection? I mean, how did that even happen? How did it come about?
So the way that they select people is partly your volume and the, you know, really how much of a presence you have in any given city. I really am connected to the business community here. I feel like when people are coming to Savannah and, you know, maybe they're new or it's a second, or like I said, second or third home, what they really need is they need introductions to people to be able to get started.
Yes.
People want a little peek into a little bit of that history. And some of my very favorite closest friends are people who are iconic in the city. You know, for instance, my former mother-in-law owns a home that was featured in the Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. So to be able to give somebody a tour of that, and it's not something that a public, you know, you're not going to take a tour bus and be able to go inside that. That's some things that some people have really loved. Or
Or
to meet maybe somebody who was pretty important with the civil rights movement in the South, you know, and connected to the Johnny Mercer, you know, it's something like that. So there's times that I think that's the little peek that I'm going to be able to give on the TV show to people. It's not, you know, just come out with me on my boat and see what it's like to be on the water in Savannah. It's really going to be behind the scenes sort of
course. That's awesome.
What the locals get to see. So
that's great. Well, definitely something to watch for either later in this year or whenever it comes out. But let's talk about this year. Can we expect big things for you and the team? Do you have a team? Is it just, how many people in the team?
Great question. I have chosen to just do a model where I interface mostly with my clients, and I have usually one assistant, sometimes two assistants, who support me more with the back end of that. And that has worked for me. So, and awesome. As far as 2023, I represent a fabulous developer in Savannah who is doing sort of some groundbreaking things here. He has one of the only stretches along a riverfront in the Southeast that he's developing. So it's right along the Savannah Riverwalk. It's about 11 acres on the river, and he is doing almost like if you were in New York, what you would see, like a penthouse condo and river home. And the condos are about 70 feet wide. So if you imagine being able to walk 70 feet across and see the riverfront, and there's almost no load-bearing walls in the main part of the house. So it's very open. They'll have a concierge that, you know, helps with groceries, walking the dog, you know, and so forth.
That's awesome. That's a really cool community.
Yeah, so you basically go in your concierge level, you go up your elevator, and you have like unobstructed views of the river and the cargo ships and all that. So that's really one of the exciting things that we'll be finishing this year that I'm super excited to introduce.
Fantastic. Great. Well, I've loved having you on the show, Heather. And just in case any of my viewers are looking to get in touch with you for whatever reason, got to refer a client through, or maybe join your team, who knows? What's the best way that they can reach out to you?
Probably my cell number, and that is 912-401-9401.
Awesome. Well, Heather, loved having you. I've said that a couple of times because genuinely is the case. You're super easy to talk to. And when you become big and famous on that national TV show, I hope you'll come back and grace us with your presence.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. It was nice to meet you too.
Fantastic.